Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the first show of 2016. Today, we're going to move right along. We had a little bumpy start here. We even got a sudden snowstorm that hit us without any warning, so we're not the only one having some mechanical issues today. As a result, we want to welcome back with us, I think this is the third or fourth show with us over the years, we have Danelle German, CFMG, and CFCG. And what does that stand for? Well, that's what we're going to learn a lot more about today. We're going to be able to open the lines to callers. You'll be able to talk with Danelle, ask her questions. We'll get to that in a few minutes. Danelle retired some years ago from cat showing and developed another further career steps all the way to now relating around cat grooming. She's authored several articles for publications like Groomer to Groomer, Pet Spa and Boutique, eGroomer Journal, as well as the world's largest cat grooming book, the Ultimate Cat Groomer Encyclopedia. She's internationally recognized as an expert on all aspects related to feline grooming. She's been interviewed by many similar publications, and she's a true pioneer in the field of feline grooming. She speaks regularly on all topics related to cat grooming. She's been on our radio show, and of course, to most of us in the grooming field, we know that she founded the NCGIA, the National Cat Groomers Institute of America, becoming the first feline-specific association. So we're glad to have her with us and to answer your questions. We're going to try to open her line now. Please hold on for a moment. Danelle?
Hello. Thanks for... Yeah.
Okay.
Yes, it's me.
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it doesn't always let me know exactly. I've got several phone lines here that people have dialed in and holding. And how are you, and what's up for 2016?
Oh, gosh, what's up for 2016? It's hard to believe it's here. I'm excited about 2016. Many people probably are already aware that the National Cat Groomers School Program that I had put together and we've been running for the last 6 years, I just retired from that going into fall of 2015. It was a huge workload. It was a great thing to do. I anticipated 5 to 6 years of doing that really to build a good base of skilled, educated, successful cat groomers, and we've got that. We spent 6 years working on that, and now we're able to utilize new technological advances and other things to make it more accessible and less expensive to groomers all over the world to get some of that training. So we have just launched some online courses with many more slated to roll out in 2016, and we are just super excited about that.
That sounds great. So it isn't that you're going to have more time. It seems like you're going to be just as busy as ever with everything.
I think so.
Well, that's great. We're glad to hear, because we appreciate all that you've done to advance this. And, you know, it's real exciting in doing some of the research on cat grooming and before you got here. And I was getting lots of questions for you emailed in to me by people that can't be live. And I would come up and I searched the web, and I got really interested because I started searching cat grooming. And I found a lot of your graduates with really good websites. You know, they really went into helping to explain the differences of cat grooming versus dog grooming. And really, some of them are doing some beautiful spas and things. Very nice websites. I was an
NCGI member.
Yep.
Yeah, and you know, that's been part of our training too, is not just training them how to groom cats, but also how to educate potential clients, new clients, on the ongoing maintenance grooming requirements for the cat and how to market that successfully online in a way that is appealing to the average cat owner out there. Because, I mean, if you compare dog grooming and cat grooming, there is a worldwide acceptance and basic understanding that dogs do need to be groomed. They get a bath, they get a blow dry. This is beneficial. Now, whether or not people do that is one thing, but they at least understand that that's a normal process of caring for a dog. With cats, on the other hand, you still got a lot of that misinformation out there being spread around by veterinarians, other groomers, or just, you know, TV shows. I've heard Cats 101, different things like that. Cats do not need to be groomed. They groom themselves, you know, yada, yada, yada. And we're saying no. Actually, that's not necessarily true. In most cases, the cats need professional bath and blow dry. This is not at-home stuff for the cat owner to do. That usually ends very badly. So there are professionals out there that have been trained to do this. And so part of our training with those professionals is how to dispel the myths, how to get clients on a regular schedule, and how to present yourself online so that you do look professional and you do win them over to make that phone call and book that appointment.
Great. I noticed when I was reading some of these veterinarians commenting on cat grooming that some of them, I think, were a lot more enlightened than them, because some of them didn't say it's wrong or it's not the right thing. But, you know, cats are pretty well equipped to do this, and I just don't think that's entirely true myself. And especially after learning a lot from you, that you can see a lot of difference, and you've really shown us some cats in horrible conditions at times and whatever that could only be resolved with a professional groomer. Anyway, what I'd like to do is to see how, you know, since we each season we do this, we have a new switchboard that we work with here. If anyone out there who is online, let's test the system here and see how it's going. If you have a question, you're not just listening in, but you have a question, you should be able to press 1 and that on your telephone keypad, and that will send me a signal that you do. And it's working already. They're waiting. Why don't we go to a caller? How's that?
Sure.
Okay, yep. I'm going to open this person up. I'll see if it's working the same. Hello? This is someone in the 864 area code.
Oh, that's Greenville. That's where I live.
Okay, nope, it's a different one. You know what it did? It moves you, it's something new. It moved you down the list, but yes, I got a question mark now from this person. You're in the 931 area code. I'll open you up.
Good afternoon.
Hello.
This is Alicia Ellis of Feline Fridays in Clarksville.
Well,
hello, Alicia.
Hi, Dan.
Go ahead and ask your question.
Okay, what I need to know is how to specify to cat clients when they request a lion cut without the full coat groom price, as well as a pelted fee when doing a lion cut.
Yes, great question. So basically, just to make sure I understand this, you've got clients coming in, the cat's in very matted or pelted condition, and they just want to pay for and just have you shave off the mats. No bath, no blow dry, no bells and whistles, just to shave off. Is that correct?
Yes, their wording is just a simple haircut.
Okay. So, yes, I have had this request many times, especially in the beginning, and this is how I always approach that. I would tell them that my job is to not only rectify the situation as it presents itself that day, meaning the pelt removal, whatever, the matted condition removal, but also to help prevent that in the future. And the only way to do that is to degrease the cat, that means bath, and blow dry the cat, that means, you know, high velocity blow dryer. I'm going to get the cat clean, because those two things, excess hair and shedding hair that isn't removed from the coat on a regular basis, and the grease, are the two things that cause that matting to begin with. So I can remove the matted areas and let's say there's just hair left on the legs, the head, maybe the end of the tail, something like this, typically is what happens. I can leave that greasy, dirty hair there and not remove the excess dead coat. What will happen is in those areas, there will continue to be matting beginning, a week from now, 2 weeks from now, 3 weeks from now, that just is going to get worse and worse and worse. And in addition, the coat that grows out from that point of shave down, even though it's very short at that point, we're talking probably 8 weeks later, we're going to start to have this matted hair again as it grows out and onward from that point. So I am not doing the cat any favors. I'm saving it that day, but I'm not fixing the real root of the problem. It's like putting a Band-Aid on an infection. So this is where that education comes in. In addition, I tell my clients, I've worked very hard to build a reputation where I turn out quality cat grooms, and the only way I can do that is to get your cat truly clean. That means even that little bit of hair left on the legs, that hair left on the face and the head, that hair left on the tail in a full lion cut, that is going to be clean. It's going to be blown out properly. It will not have any mats or tangles or dandruff or grease or any yuck in it. It's going to present beautifully. Now, if the client is not interested in that, in quality cat grooming, then they are not my client. So I see every time this happens, I've got an opportunity to educate them about something they are completely unaware of. And you've got to always remember that a lot of times they've heard conflicting information, maybe from their vet, from the other groomer, from, you know, their mother-in-law, from TV, whatever, okay? They've heard other things that totally conflict with what you're saying. And oftentimes the fear is that the cat, one, can't tolerate the bath or blow dry or both, or they don't want to pay for the service. They're cheapskates, and they don't want to pay for something they don't realize they need. I get that, okay? Why do we want to pay for something that we don't think is necessary? So you've got to show them that it's necessary. And in my salon, it's non-negotiable. Every groom comes with that bath and blow dry because we're going to get the cat clean. We're going to get it dry. We're going to remove the excess coat that's going to be problematic in the very near future. And that is always included in the price. So my price isn't going to change. There's no step down from that. There's no just a shave off. There's no dirty cat with mats removed going out my door. And so those are the principles. I take the time to explain that to them. I do it in a way that's professional. I do it in a way that's confident. I know what I'm talking about. I've been doing this a long time. I promise to them, I guarantee to them that if they let me do my job and they do it on a regular basis, whatever I'm recommending for that cat, their cat will not suffer in this manner anymore in the future. They will not have to pay matting surcharges in the future. They will not have to deal with a dirty matted cat in the future. Whatever is going to appeal to that client, because, you know, some people really genuinely don't care about the well-being of their animal. They just are all about the money. So I've got to appeal more maybe to the hygiene of the whole scenario here, because it's really gross. So you've got to appeal to that client, meet them where they are, understand they probably don't get it. They're speaking out of ignorance. That's not their fault. So there's this education that goes on. And in all of that, as a foundation, my prices, my services are non-negotiable. That's always the case. When they walk in, they can ask for whatever they want. But ultimately, what I'm coming down to is I'm going to turn out a quality groom that I am proud of. I'm happy to stamp my name on, or my daughter's name, or, you know, an instructor's name, whoever happens to be grooming that day. And it's going to be for the well-being of the cat. I hope that helps.
Yes, one step further, maybe I didn't grasp about the surcharge for the pelt, because the way that they understand it in their mind is, I'm already doing the lion clip, so why am I charging extra for the pelt fee? And how to explain that, please?
Well, number one, I say I'm in the service industry, so time is money. I charge for my time. That's bottom line, just like any other service provider, plumber, mechanic, whatever. They're essentially quoting by the amount of time it's going to take. Does it take longer to remove a pelt from a cat than it does to do a lion cut on a cat that's been bathed 6 weeks ago?
Yes, of course.
I'm asking you that question.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
does that take? Okay. In addition, what do clipper blades cost on average?
35.
Okay, 35. What's the wear and tear, the additional wear and tear worth on clipper blades versus a maintenance groom shave down, a cat in good condition? You see, all of my prices that I post are for cats on a regular maintenance groom schedule. So if somebody elects not to have their cat in that condition, i.e. not bringing it regularly, they are the ones that are penalized and pay the higher price because, one, it's taking longer. Two, more wear and tear on my tools. I got to get my blades sharpened or replace them, whatever the case may be. And when we're talking about cats here, we're talking about aggravating a cat that's already in pain, which we know who they lash out at in that scenario. That would be us, right?
Yes.
So the customer that's negligent has to pay an additional fee for the time, wear and tear, aggressive cat, whatever. It's all consequences of neglect. The client that chooses to be responsible, put their cat on a regular schedule, bring it in on time, do those things, follow through, those are the ones that get the benefit of the regular prices I charge.
All right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Did you have any other questions, caller?
Not that I can think of right now.
Okay.
Thank
You're
you.
Welcome to go ahead. I believe if you press 1, that'll take your hand down. But if you do have another question before the show ends, just go ahead and press the 1 again. You're welcome to ask again. Danelle, let me ask you, how do you figure your surcharges? Do you have 15-minute segments times an hourly rate? How do you come up with whatever that's going to be?
Yeah, that's a good question. Yes, essentially, you can break down, you know, what's your hourly rate, and then in chunks of 15 or 30 minutes. 15 makes it easy to figure out. In addition, I combine that with sort of a wake-up call to customers. So our pelt removal fee surcharge, this is on top of the normal groom. The pelt removal fee is $75. And bear in mind, the cat has to have a lion cut. So our lion cut is running already $82. So they're paying an additional $75 on top of the $82 here in a salon environment in South Carolina. So somebody who's mobile, somebody who lives in an area with a higher cost of living, that those prices really should be higher than that. And so the client is paying that additional $75 for the additional time it takes us. But in addition, I'm factoring in this, for lack of a better way to put it, slap me in the face and wake me up and make me go, hey, why is it so expensive? That's what I want them to, I want them to take notice. I want them to go, wow, that's like a lot. And then I can say, well, you know, if your cat's on a regular schedule, we don't ever have a pelt. Your cat never has to go through this again. And you don't have to pay the additional $75. And see, then the $82 for the lion cut sounds like a super great bargain versus, you know, $150, $175, $200, whatever that groom fee is. And we charge other fees like a biting surcharge, fecal removal surcharge, and things like that that are often combined with that $75 pelt removal fee, because those often go hand in hand. And this is a take notice moment for a client. And it's been very effective in my salon. I did not start out doing this. I realized right away, and people got to remember, you know, I've been where you are, Alicia. I've been where people are listening to this right now. When I started out, nobody was getting their cat groomed. They all said, my cat grooms itself. I don't need this. I just need you to cut out the mat. I just need you to trim the nails, whatever those things were. And 17 some years later, because of the work that I've done, my staff has done over the years, the phone calls that come in now with new clients, and we get them every week, is now, I want to make an appointment for my cat to be groomed. That's pretty much the extent of the conversation on the phone. What day works for them. We book them. They come in. We don't have discussions about whether or not the cat will be bathed. We don't have discussions about, you know, how much it's going to cost, because generally the reputation is already here. They get that. They understand that. And that's why they're coming to us. So it's going to take some time to get to that place for all of you listening. But I'm not the only one doing that. I know, Stephen, you mentioned going to some of these websites of CFMGs. There are other CFMGs out there around the world that have gone from, oh, I don't, my cat doesn't need a bath, I just need you to cut out the mat, and how much is this going to be? This is ridiculous. To, I just need to make an appointment to have my cat groomed. It is possible to make that happen, and it is a process. There's time involved. There's, you know, some dialogue that needs to take place, some education that needs to take place. But in addition to that, you've got to wow them with the grooms. You've actually got to make a difference. You've got to do what you say you're going to do. You have to prove it, you know. People aren't going to keep buying something that doesn't really hold up. So I think that's key. That's fundamental right there.
Great information. If anyone else has a question for Danelle anytime during the call, you can press 1 on your keypad, and that will send me a signal, and we'll get to you. In the meantime, I got flooded with emails. We originally had the show scheduled for December. We had some weather events. I got like 7 pages of questions for you.
Oh, wow.
But I went serious. You should see. But I went through and highlighted what I think are some of the best questions.
Okay, go for it.
Some are basic. Let's go on with them.
Okay.
This is Linda from Texas, Houston. She gave me the city from Houston. She wanted to know, have you ever had to refuse a cat, and how did you go about with the refusal to the pet owner?
Yes, we have had to refuse cats. It doesn't happen often, but it has happened, and the two reasons, one would be a highly aggressive cat that it's just not, there is no amount of money that you can pay us to try to handle it. We're talking usually cats with a feral background. They come in extremely frightened, extremely aggressive, in attack mode. We're talking thrashing around in a crate, screaming and hollering, and, you know, pupils dilated. So, you know, you can't even get your hands on the cat. And if you did, the cat would probably die of a heart attack. So in those scenarios, we've had to turn people away. And it's quite obvious to them at check-in that the cat is not a candidate for non-sedated or non-anesthetized grooming, just because of its behavior at that moment. And they can't even touch it. And then the other scenario would be a cat that presents with some sort of symptoms of illness, respiratory problems right away. If I see, you know, snot coming out of the nose, goopy eyes, and I don't mean normal discharge on a Persian or Himalayan, but that infected looking discharge, mouth breathing, those types of things, we do not accept those cats because they do have some kind of virus or bacterial infection. They could have a disease that is highly contagious and fatal and easily, you know, spread around and cause all kinds of problems. So they come in like that, we send them off to the vet, and we do not groom those cats until we get the okay from the veterinarian, directly from the veterinarian, not the owner, because I've found they aren't always truthful. So we want to hear clearly from the veterinarian in written letter or by phone that, you know, this cat is safe to groom, it's not contagious, and that sort of thing. So yes, those times do happen, and in each case, in the aggressive situation, you know, the owner's there, they can see that it's not possible. And so we make a recommendation to a veterinarian's office, where I don't even know how they're going to sedate or anesthetize the cat, but I'll leave that up to them and go from there. Sometimes those cats can be given a sedative pill, and this is always done with the owner and veterinarian doing that, not us. We never give that. And then brought to us immediately. And we have what I have found about 45 minutes in which to work before that sedative wears off. And sometimes we are able to do the groom without any trouble, and the cat does not need anesthesia. So if we feel like that is an option, we do present that to the owner, and they can discuss that with their vet. We do have a very good working relationship with many veterinarians in our area, and they're, you know, well aware of these limitations and understandings of what we do. And so when we send the owner to them and say, you know, hey, try a sedative and then let's try this again, the vet already knows where we're coming from. So it's a very good networking option there and working relationship. With the health issue, you know, we say to them, it's real simple. Your cat appears to be sick with something that could be contagious. We cannot risk the other cats in the environment. And, you know, if somebody has a problem with that, it's not really a client I want, because if the shoe is on the other foot and their cat was well and in the salon for grooming and someone else's cat was brought in with symptoms looking to be sick and possibly contagious, would they want me to bring that sick cat into the environment and risk their cat's life? No, they would not. So if they don't get that, you know, there's the door and we'll see you later. Most people would understand that and be appreciative of that. And we've run into those scenarios even with something that looks like ringworm and had to call the owner, where we found this immediately after drop-off. We begin grooming. We see something looks very suspicious, call the owner. You know, they're not happy to come back and get their cat that isn't being groomed now, and now they have to go to the vet and have a ringworm culture done before we'll see it again. Nobody wants to get that message. But you know, I explained to them, same thing, if it was someone else's cat and your cat was here for grooming, would you want me to risk it and go ahead and bath and blow dry it and throw those spores all over the environment and, you know, and possibly, potentially, most likely infect every other cat in the environment? No, you would not. So this is why we are cautious with that. You know, I got to protect my business, which means protecting all my clients. And, you know, if a client doesn't understand that, they just are not my client. It's that simple. That's a very good question, though.
Okay, great. Good info, too. I have Sherry from Alabama who sent a question. Says, I love grooming cats, but I can last an eight-hour day. I don't like to groom more than 5 or 6 hours. She says she's not self-employed yet as a cat groomer. So she's worried about there may be employers out there going to say, look, I need you to work 8 hours. What's this 5 or 6 hour thing? Any suggestions for her?
Yeah, you know, I think actually 5 or 6 hours is a perfect time to have a cat grooming work day, and you can accomplish a lot. When I started the Catty Shack many years ago, my oldest children were in grade school age, and I homeschooled them. They went to my salon with me, and I had a separate room where they would do their studies, and I was grooming cats. And then later, as they went into high school and they had sports activities and things, I purposely structured my workday all those years, and even now. Back then, it was 8:30 to 2 o'clock, and that's still what we work, 8:30 to 2. And most groomers are probably like me, where they don't really take much of a lunch break. It's kind of popping food in your mouth as you go along. So 8:30 to 2 was the workday. That meant the final grooms were finishing up right around 1:30, just to make time for cleanup and, you know, that sort of thing, get the towels in the wash and vacuum and all that kind of stuff. So what, 30, 9:30, 10:30, 11:30, 12:30, 1:30, 5 hour workday. During that time, I was able to build up to grooming 12 cats in that time frame by myself. And then as I added another groomer, and that groomer was fully proficient enough to be able to groom at a high speed and not need my assistance, we were able to almost double that. So in a five-hour workday, you can get a lot done if you need to with cats. But part of that is having the right equipment. You've got to have, you know, the aid of a cage dryer. On a non-heated cage dryer. Having a Caddyshack vac helps tremendously. Having clippers that do the job well, so you're not doing 16 line cuts on a cat, you're just doing one to get that smooth finish. You know, those things are critical, and working handling techniques are critical. If you're wrestling with the cat, not actually getting anything done, then you're not getting anything done. And these are some things that are covered in the Ultimate Cat Groom Encyclopedia, the first book that I wrote. There's timetable in there. How long should it take from, you know, the time you get the cat out of the crate to all the pre-bath work and then during the bath and blow dry and table work after. How long should that take? And I've had students in my school that have timed me before, so I'm not making this up. They can vouch for it to get, you know, your average wiggly cat, not highly aggressive, with maybe some a little bit of mats. I mean, just your average cat getting a lion cut. From the time I pulled it out of the cage dryer, trimmed all 18 claws, did my initial lion cut, which is about 90-95% of the way complete. I'm not worrying a lot about my leg lines, neckline, and tail line pre-bath because it's dirty hair. From the time I pull the cat out, nails and pre-clip to the bath, 7 minutes. So if you can do that, and then you add on, you know, 7 minutes for a bath, and you've got some cage dryer time while you're working on another cat, and then by the time you pull that one out and do 5 to 10 minutes of hand drying time while another cat's in the cage dryer, you see how it's working in this efficient manner. That's how you get that done. So, yes, 5 to 6 hour work day is perfect. When we did our school session, we had a 6 hour work day, and that is plenty of time to get a lot of cats done. You know, we have some days here where we average a little over $100 a cat. So if you know, you can do the math on that. It's a nice day.
Excellent. Okay, and Sherry, you know, in 2 hours after this show and thereon for weeks and months and who knows years, this show will be available as a recording, and perhaps you could have prospective employers come and listen to this to help you explain to them if you get any, negative impact of trying to say, look, I think it's better to work 5 or 6 hours, and let Danelle help answer that question for you. Okay.
Absolutely.
So just come to the website and there'll be a link. You can play this show right to them. I'm going to skip down my list here. I think I found it here because we've mentioned the lion cut now a couple times here. And Anna in Washington was asking about any rules, guidelines to how to set the pattern and the lines for a mane in a lion cut.
Oh, that's a great question. And actually, Anna is in luck because one of the very first online courses that we put up is the Lion Cut. And it's a live demo I did for one of our last classes of students this past year. And I do the demo and I break it down into all of the sections from leg lines to neckline, tail line, pre-bath work, the whole nine yards, and I'm explaining exactly that stuff and demonstrating it on an actual cat. So that online course, if they go to nationalcatgroomers.com and under the four groomers tab, you'll see there's a four groomers for owners for veterinarians across the top. So you guys are going the four groomers section, which is the big one. It's loaded with stuff. And on the right hand top side, you'll see online courses. Click on that. You'll see all of the available online courses. If Anna or whoever signs up for the Lion Cut course, they can go through all of the steps on that at their own pace. They can repeat them. Once they enroll in that, they have access to it forever. So, most likely Anna will go through it one time and go, okay, that's helpful. And then she'll go to groom a cat. She'll be like, okay, wait a minute. How did she do that again? And she can go back and watch it 60 times if she wants, 100 times. I don't care. She can post questions. She can post photos of, something, a leg line or a neckline she did on a cat and ask for critique on it from one of us instructors. And we are happy to do that. So these online courses are amazing. Great for learning from afar. Anyone can do it as long as you've got internet access.
And doesn't this show you the value of the internet to our industry has been amazing?
Amen.
In the last 15 or so years.
Yes.
That's great.
Just look at what you've been able to offer over the years and just with the technological advances, you know?
Yeah. It's I would have never guessed this was where we were going to be when we started in 1997. And I'm getting excited because I'm taking a lot of our original book, totally revising. I'm going to put it out for 99 cents to the world as an ebook just to help get all this info out there. Yeah, I'm really excited. It's been 2 years.
That's awesome.
In revision.
Yep.
And I just want people, we did really well. It's pretty amazing. We never thought we would sell 30,000 copies over quite a few years. But now we just want to give back and just get the word out about, and let's because it keeps the conversation going and for our business brings people to the website. But the main thing is that just think back the years before we groomers had hard enough time talking sometimes to the groomers in their own town, but now we're all talking, you know. It's just and knowledge, I guess, is getting around. And that's the benefit of it all. Just sort of one of those warm, cozy feelings of being able to see and make a change in an industry. Okay,
exactly.
No shortage of more things here. And again, anyone else? No one with their hand up, but if you do, you just press 1 on your keypad. Okay, let me go to Sonia in New York. If a cat owner is having their very first cat grooming experience with a professional, how do you handle that? Is there a special appointment? Do you get to meet the owner before they even come to their first appointment to meet the pet? Mm. Or what do you suggest?
Yeah, we, good question again. We always do a temperament and needs assessment, which I have demonstrated so many times at seminars all over the world, and this is so important. We actually have this in one of our online courses, or maybe even two of them. The Cat Grooming Basics course has this exact thing in it. This is critical. You've got a client standing in front of you for that first professional cat grooming that's going to cost them, you know, $80 or $100, whatever, and they have no idea what they're getting, and they probably are a little skeptical that it's going to go well. Many, many times cat owners have tried some at-home cat grooming that did not go well. So they think their cat won't handle it. It's going to need drugs. I've heard this countless times. So they're coming at this with some preconceived ideas, and they're a little skeptical and doubtful that you can pull this off. And furthermore, what are you pulling off? They have no idea. So that pre-assessment, the getting the cat out of the crate in front of the client, going over it's, you know, it, real quick, it takes me 5 to 10 seconds in the demonstration. The needs assessment, in other words, what condition is this cat in and what does it need? And then also at the same time, I'm gathering information on the cat's temperament, which is vital. If the cat is highly aggressive, most likely the thing it's going to hate the most during grooming are the clippers. So if the owner wants a lion cut and you've got this beast of a lion trying to eat your face off and you're telling them, yeah, no problem. Yes, there is a problem. You are not going to do a lion cut safely on this cat and live to tell about it, and the cat live to tell about it. So we got to know what we're going into and don't commit the things that should not be committed to. So that is important. And then I think this is also key to building confidence and trust with this owner who is skeptical to begin with. If we can win them over and win their trust, I mean, grooming really, guys, is so much about trust with the owner of that pet. If you know what you're doing, you speak with confidence, you clearly communicate, you give them what you said and exceed their expectations even, which with cat grooming, it's almost like super easy to do because their expectations are super low initially, then you build the beginnings of this trust relationship that can turn into a lifetime business relationship here. I've got clients who are on their second or third generation cat. You know, the cat I was grooming 17 years ago has passed away. They got another cat. Maybe it even passed away. And now they're on the third cat to join the family, and they just automatically come in. It's make those appointments, get the kitten started right away. They are sold. They'll never go anywhere else. We've got clients that drive, you know, sometimes 2 or 3 hours one way to come here every month or every 6 weeks. And those are the bread and butter of my business. Those are the clients I love. Those are the clients I do this for. And those are the ones that make you love your job and make you successful. So taking that little bit of time to do that assessment in front of that and begin to build that trust, that's just where it's at right there, I can tell you.
Okay. I have Laura in Florida, and she wanted to know, do you have every one of your clients sign some sort of release form?
Absolutely, yes. And we keep them on file, and we update them if they get a new cat or have new contact information. We never get rid of them.
think what she was trying to ask here too is, do you have how she should get a hold of one? What's the?
We offer that, a copy of that actually, free to our members in our online member benefits course. So if she wants to sign up to be a member of the National Cat Groomers, she will get immediate access to the member benefits course, and or I should say immediate once our office is open again on Monday. And then she will have hours and hours, days and days worth of content to go through to, and it's all nicely categorized. And in there are documents and forms that are useful for running your business, such as that.
Okay. Quick and easy. That was great. And, of course,
yeah.
I got several questions. What do groomers love to talk about? Shears and clippers. They are asking, what are your favorite? So let's go ahead and hear what your favorite are.
Yeah, clippers, you know, I'm a wall represented, a wall extreme team member. And I tell people I don't recommend wall because I'm an extreme team member. I'm an extreme team member because I use and love wall and swear by them. You know, over the years, I've used a myriad of clippers, probably everything out there under the sun. And it was the wall switchblade, which is now retired and replaced with newer, better stuff. But it was the thing that just absolutely cut like butter through cat hair, the first thing I ever found to get through those pelted messes using a 10 blade. I only ever use a 10 blade on a cat skin. So I, if I'm putting snap-on combs, I'm using a 30, which is recommended under the snap-on. But anytime the blade is on the cat's body without the snap-on, it's a 10 blade and only a 10 blade. And so I use now the new, better version of the switchblade, which is the Wall KM10, an outstanding clipper. Talk about speedy and cut through that mess, in any kind of mess. I don't care what you go through, it's going to get through it. And then my hands-down all-time favorite clipper is the Wall Bravura, which, of course, is cordless. I do not use it for pelt removal. I find the corded clipper to be my clipper of choice there. But the Bravura is hands-down unbeatable for cutting those nice crispy lines on the leg lines, neckline, tail line. Any of the creative work I have done on cats, I've used pretty much the Bravura or the Mini Bravura exclusively. And it's just a super, super nice clipper. With the lithium battery advancement they put in it in the past year or so, it's just even better. So those are my favorite clippers. In fact, I will recommend in the member benefits course, I have a whole list of must-haves and get-laters, or what I call them, and I did a webinar on this. It's in there. It's a one-hour recording. What tools must you have if you're going to, you know, start grooming cats? What must you have? And then what can you get later as funds allow? Because most people don't just have, you know, a bunch of money to go buy everything all at once. If you do, that's awesome. But if you're like I was when I started out showing cats, and this is sort of an accidental business I fell into. So I had to buy things incrementally as I saved up the money from my grooming. And so what did I need in the beginning? What was essential to get my job done? And then what could I add on or get later as I saved up the money to buy those things? That's all in there. I have a webinar on it. I explain why each of those items is on my must-have or get-later list. I even prioritize them on my get-later list, you know? What's the first thing I'm going to buy? And second and third. And, you know, people have different preferences and they might not agree with all that, but it gives you a starting point and you don't have to learn the hard way like I did. I learned the expensive way where I bought lots of clippers and I tried them out and they didn't work so well. And then I, you know, donated them and bought more, and that's very costly. So, which is why exactly I think it's Laura is asking this question. So for more information on that, get in the member benefits, sign up for membership, get in the member benefits, and watch that webinar and read that list. It's all there for you.
Great. Okay. I have Edward. By the way, in all the time that you've operated your school, how many male groomers have come to the school?
We've had a few. You know, our very first class we ever had, January 2010, one of the students was a guy. And over the years, we've had, I would say, maybe a dozen. I'm just guessing. And, you know, I want to say probably most of them were sent by either their wife or their mother, because the the wife or the mother came to school and learned how to groom cats, and the business grew and they needed help. So they sent the guy, whatever relationship he was, to come learn also. And it's just funny how that works.
It does. You know, I've been a consultant to like over 3,000 and almost two decades. And it's amazing how many times the husband will actually change their career to work with the wife because she becomes so successful and they want to get in the industry.
Yeah. My husband worked for 27 years in the freight and trucking industry, same company, 27 years, and 2 years ago this same job and all the benefits that went with it, 27 years worth of benefits to come work in what we call the cat empire with me. And it's just been, it's been wonderful. I love having him there working with me and building our empire instead of someone else's empire. And it's a great way to go.
Yeah. That's wonderful. Well, Edward, get back to you in Los Angeles. Edward, he wanted to know, he's, I guess, probably coming into this early. He wanted to know, obviously, and you said this before, some puppies can react very badly to clippers, and there's ways to help get puppies used to that vibration. What do you do with cats? Anything different?
It's hard to say how I'd compare it to dogs because I'm not a dog groomer, but I would say that first we have to determine the aggressiveness in the cat. Is it based in fear or is it based on aggression, naughtiness, I say. And there really is a difference between the two. So the fearful cat, yes, we can win its trust and we can acclimate it to all parts of the grooming process, including the clippers. The highly aggressive cat that is just angry and has like what I anger management issues, most of the time those cats are just going to remain that way. They're just plain and simple mad that they're having to do something they don't want to do, which is lay on the sofa and watch TV. And so getting them over that, it doesn't usually happen. So first is identifying what that's based on, fear or anger management issues. And fear, yes, that can be worked with, for sure. How do you do that? Was that his question? You got to win the cat's trust. And I think that is really based in how you handle it. Reading the cat, reacting appropriately. I'm assuming this would be very similar with a puppy, where, you know, you don't let it get away with naughty things, but you have to have a gentle demeanor, but a firm stance to train it to react appropriately to things. I'm assuming that's how you do things with a dog. So it's similar with a cat, except that their foundation is not the same. Cats have no interest in pleasing people whatsoever. So we've got to come at it from a slightly different angle, but it can be done, and it's something that just really has to be demonstrated, and it's a little bit different with each and every cat. There is no, it's always the same on a cat like this all the time. You know, I think it varies from cat to cat to cat.
It's funny, when you were talking and you talked about trust with cats, I flashed on a T-shirt that says, "Cats, trust me." That would set someone aside from the normal pack of humans. Cats, trust me. Hey, I know how to win a cat's trust. That's an interesting claim to make. I have someone else here with probably someone that's thinking about the industry who really wanted to know, how you do the towel burrito.
Okay. This is also demonstrating cat grooming basics. I'll try to explain it, but without like seeing it in action, like in basics course. It's kind of hard, but yes, we lay the cat down nearly in the center of the towel, and we wrap one side around and tuck it in, and then wrap the other side over like a burrito and tuck it in. And, you know, make sure that all the paws and tail and everything are in there. You got to have big enough towels, and there are some big hefty cats out there. So, you know, make sure you got good sized towels for the job. Those little chamois towels and things, not adequate. Those don't really wrap around too many cats. So That is demonstrated in basics course. You can get a visual on that and see what I'm talking about. We do this with each and every cat when it comes out of the tub, whether it's nice or aggressive or in between. And we do use this method for even trimming nails on some of the highly aggressive cats that, you know, that need some special handling to get anything done. So it's very handy.
All right. And of course, when we were talking about clippers, I needed to add, we got plenty of questions about your favorite shampoos and conditioners.
Yeah. I'm glad they asked. My favorite shampoo would, of course, be Chubb's Bars. And Chubb's Bars I invented. For a long time, I was using another shampoo for over like a decade that I love. I love the shampoo. It was great. And it was the only shampoo I could find on the market that was doing an adequate job of degreasing. And I started using that shampoo for my show cats before I was really seriously into grooming everybody else's cat. I was grooming my Persians for show, and I was actually running a cat for a national win. So I would spend anything on the shampoo, and I had to have the right shampoo or I wouldn't win in the ring. So price was not an issue. It was all about the finish. And I was using that same shampoo in my salon. It worked great on my clients' cats. I was getting very good results. And it got to be really hard to get that shampoo, really hard. And I had a lot of my students and NCGI members and people that were you know, following what I was using, complaining and saying, freaking out, and I don't know what I'm going to do. What do I use? And so I set about making something. I actually worked with a couple shampoo makers, and I worked with a local chemist. I worked with so many people, and no one could come up with something that I wanted. And it was really in the middle of the night, one night on a complete fluky whim, a miracle, that I came up with Chubb's Bars, and we put it to test. It's called Chubb's Bars because my cat Chubb's tested it, and I made a few tweaks with it, and we've been selling Chubb's Bars now worldwide since we launched the company in July 2013. My first order was from Australia because I took the first Chubb's Bars to Australia for a three-week seminar tour I was doing in June of that year. I came back with an order for 400 bars in Australia, and the Americans and Canadians were all freaking out and wanting me to bring Chubb's Bars back from Australia because the Australians were talking about them. So we set out, opened a plant here in South Carolina, and we do as much locally as we can, get as much of our ingredients and printing and everything. We hire out so much locally, and I'm just really happy to support my state and made in the USA, and we ship worldwide. We've got distributors all over the world. They can find them on chubsbars.com. Our Canada distributor is amazing and just takes such excellent care of the Canadians up there. And Chubb's Bars, that's my long answer for what do I use? Chubb's Bars. We wash every cat. We do two lathers of Chubb's Bars on the cat. We do not use conditioner. It is not necessary. In fact, most of them will leave the coat looking a little heavy and separated. And if the cat has a really bad case of stud tail or chin acne or something that's just excessive, we often put a little bit of Groomer's Goop Dry on the dry coat before we start on that little greasy area. Stud tail is notorious for this. And then follow up with the Chubb's Bar applications. Two lathers, two rinses. And if you can't get Chubb's Bars, you call me, you contact me, because I will make sure you get Chubb's Bars.
Great. Tracy from California was asking for her business. She's planning. I'd like to know what supplies or products or foods sell best at a cat spa.
Greyhound combs, litter and food, and cat carriers, plastic cat crates. Those were the things I found. Greyhound combs were really hard to find at local pet stores, so we sold a lot of those. We even had people come by that didn't even have cats, and they came to buy greyhound combs out of my salon. And then the food and the litter, because it was a one-stop shop for people. And so many times people ask me, what food do you feed your cats? What litter do you use? So we did sell a lot of that.
What about selling foods? Is there a market for it at Cat Spa?
Selling what?
It was selling food, cat food.
Food, yeah. We sold a good bit because it was that one-stop shop for people when they came in to get their cat groomed or boarding. When I offered the boarding facility, they could stock up on litter and cat food. So we did. You know, we don't do retail anymore, so it's hard for me to comment. That was 7 years ago, 8 years ago maybe since I last did that.
So retail, there is a limited market for retail in a cat spa. So we can't.
Yeah, I would say, yes. Our bread and butter definitely was grooming, right behind it boarding, and then retail was, you know, your profit margin on retail just isn't that high. So you've got the space
right for
it, that's fine, but you got the management of it, and it's, you know, you tie up cash. It's not something I'm interested in doing again, but if, you know, some people have a storefront and they've got the space for it, and so cat litter, cat food, and greyhound combs and plastic cat crates I found to be the top of my list of sales,
okay,
you know, items that sold the best.
Okay. And Naomi, she's in Indiana. She was asking, can you share some of your advertising secrets?
Yes. I even have an online course on this called Marketing 101. Yes, I would say, I'm not sure what she means specifically, but I would say that, you know, a picture is worth 1,000 words. If you can demonstrate in before and after photos what you can do, you know, it's hard to explain things, but you can sure show the wow in a photo. When I started out, we did not have things like Facebook and Instagram and all of that, so I had to do it the old-fashioned way with an ad and phone book, which costs a lot of money. And so utilizing that social media these days is a great benefit. A website that presents well is key to all of that. And then getting the word out to even have people go check out your website. And, you know, ultimately the purpose of your website should be to make people pick up the phone and call you and make an appointment. So if it's not doing that, you got to look at why is it not doing that? You know, am I missing information? Does it not present well? Can they not find things? I don't know. What are the reasons? So, identify that and fix those problems, and then using social media to, you know, demonstrate what you do and market different promotions or sales or things that you're doing. But then getting the word out after you've got your website up and running well, let's make sure we get the word out to local vets, other groomers that do not want to groom cats, because there are a lot of those out there, and pet-related businesses or shelters, breeders of long-haired cats particularly. We've got local, like Persian breeders, Maine Coon breeders, Ragdoll breeders that refer to us. You know, they want those cats that they're placing in pet homes to be well taken care of for their lifetime. So they're happy to refer to us. So you want to make sure and get that word out to those places. But I do have an online course called Marketing 101, and it is available to explain some of that and really the heart and soul of what I've done with my business over the years.
All right, and here's what's always an interesting issue, vocational licensing. Do you think that cat groomers should be licensed? And I would believe they're referring to vocational licensing, because we all have to get a business license whether we like it or not. So I think this is a question about vocational licensing.
You know, that is a hot-button topic right there, and the National Cat Groomers Institute this past year joined the Pet Groomers Alliance to formulate a piece of legislation for the purpose of thwarting some of the poorly written stuff that's been, of course, it's come about in New Jersey, California, and some other states. I think that it is inevitable at some point one of these states is going to pass a piece of legislation. And I think that it is in our best interest to be proactive and try to do what we can to get that legislation in place that is actually beneficial to the grooming industry instead of detrimental. So I preface what I'm about to say with that. Now, I also am not real big on government interference or intervention when it's not needed. So I'd like to see that kept to a minimum. But if it's coming, I want to make sure that it is written by people in the grooming industry that know what they're talking about. And with that being said, I believe that everybody handling a cat for whatever purpose, whether it's grooming or in a vet tech environment, veterinary environment, I think they should have some basic understanding of how the cat moves, what it reacts to, and how to handle it safely. Now, I haven't quite figured out how to make that all come together in one big, you know, wonderful recipe. So I don't know. That's my answer. I really do think education is critical, and that's what we're working for here at the National Cat Groomers. I would love to see everybody handling a cat go through some basic education about the safety issues involved with that. Do I think somebody needs to license all of them? I don't know that I do. I don't know that I do.
I agree. I think that's a very good answer. And I agree 100% that it isn't. People would think, oh, you mean I have to learn all those breed styles and all? And I said, no, I don't think that should be what we're focusing on. The people, the consumer needs reasonable an answer to safety. That is what we need to all know, is the basics of safety, handling the pet, how we use the equipment, whatever, and not some approval. We'll let our certification, NDJ, whatever, tell them about what you can get certified as. But it's safety is the issue. So actually, we don't need that. It should focus and stay focused on the safety rather than anyone just being able to call themselves a groomer the next day and start taking money without knowing if they know the first thing about safety of pets, rather than I don't need to test them. Do they know every style and how good are they at this and whatever? It's all about safety.
So, yep, absolutely.
How do we do
challenging. Yeah, how do we do that? That is the big question. And, you know, I speak from experience. I've had cats in my salon that have been to other groomers in my area who don't know how to groom cats and don't know how, obviously don't even know what types of tools, because the cats have come in with, like, scissor cut wounds and, you know, things like this, injury. That makes me angry. And, you know, how do we prevent that? It's so unnecessary. With just a bit of education, that could all be prevented. So I really am a firm believer in that. But, you know, at the same, and what's sad is the cat owner and the cat have to pay the price for that. But also it is detrimental to the industry as a whole, because if this other groomer injures a cat by doing something really stupid, they are a groomer. They are a cat groomer. They call themselves this. This is how they are identified to the cat owner. I am also identified as that. What is the difference to the cat owner? And, you know, that bothers me. But I also think there's a huge opportunity there for those of us that do take the time to be educated, to take advanced classes, to get private instruction, to go to seminars, to listen to programs like this. You know, there's so many options out there for ongoing education for the grooming industry. And the ones that take the time to do that have such an opportunity to set themselves apart from the ones that aren't doing that. And so from just a competitive viewpoint, I like opportunities like that. But it is sad that in the process, consumers are paying the price, pets are paying the price when people don't know what they're doing and they don't take the time and spend the money to get educated. That bothers me immensely. Yep. The solution, I don't know. That's, you know,
yep.
What is the solution?
Yeah, you can sure break the ice at a cocktail party with that kind of question. Just bring up licensing. Now we go about it. And it'll be roaring pretty soon. Okay, yeah. I have Liz in New Mexico, and she wants to know, after the grooming, and I suppose there would be a play area for the cats or something. Maybe she has planning on boarding or something, but she just says, after grooming, do you ever allow any cats, she means of different families, to commingle in any way?
Never. That's a great, great way to have a good cat fight with an injury. Cats are not social like dogs are, and they don't play together. They actually are more apt to fight and attack one another. So, and then you also have, potential for things to be spread around. You know, you just don't know. A cat could have, for instance, feline leukemia. And you would not know this. The cat hasn't been tested for it. It's not presenting signs of illness at this time. And so the cat could be positive with the feline leukemia virus, and no one is aware of this. And you put two cats together, and there's a fight that ensues, and blood and scratching and biting and whatever else going on, and now you have the potential for contamination. Whereas if those cats were not in, you know, fighting and that sort of thing, and you are disinfecting properly, there is no cross-contamination going on. So too much risk. I would never do that. The cats go back in their crate where they're very happy to go and sit and wait until mommy or daddy come and get them, and everybody's protected.
And certainly, you know, just even dogs, this is a little different, but even with dogs, you can spoil the groom. The look, you want that beautiful
yep.
look, and some dogs are just going to get slobber on them or whatever.
Yeah.
It's just nice to keep them looking beautiful right after that
groom.
That's
true.
Yeah.
Yep.
I have Anastasia, and she's in California, Southern California, and she asks if you do cat massage and any recommendations of where to learn cat massage.
I do not do cat massage, and I'm not even sure where to tell you to go for that. However, I know this, there have been a couple people calling from California. I will be doing a hands-on workshop in San Leandro, California on, May 22nd and 23rd. This will be a hands-on workshop. So if anybody is interested in that, they can contact us and we'll let you know how to get how to register for that. I'll also be at Pasadena for Groom Expo West coming up here in like a month. And I'm doing 6 seminars that weekend. So there's
wow.
a lot of information. Yeah.
Yeah.
Coming to California.
Okay.
But yeah, I don't know anything about the massage stuff. Sorry.
Okay. All right. I'm not sure how this is Lena again, but a different Lena, and it says in Chicago, that's what it is. She's a beginner.
Okay.
She's learned how to groom dogs. She had the biggest fear of quicking nails on dogs, especially those black ones,
mm-hmm.
I'm sure.
Mm-hmm.
And she goes, how, what about nail clipping with cats?
Well, with cats, I'll tell you, it's a lot easier because the quick is always pink and the nail is white and you can always see it. So as long as you can see with your eyeballs, you should be okay.
Yeah, easy, huh? Okay.
Yeah, easy.
Let's move to the next one. It's amazing how time is flying here. I have a question from Erin in Pennsylvania, and she wants to know if it's hard to find cat grooming insurance.
I don't know what she means by that specifically.
I think she just means business insurance would be my guess.
I would say no. I mean, I've never had any problem getting it, and we even had quite a few insurance policies on the grooming school, cat grooming school, that we were required to have by the state licensing board, heaps of insurance, and I didn't have any problem getting any of that. And you got to consider that basically a bunch of people are flying in to Greenville to attend our school to do pretty much nothing but handle and groom cats. So I would think it would be not that difficult to get it anywhere. At least in the U.S.
I would think, yeah, going with some of our better-known ones, that they're going to cover it. I don't think that'll be too difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, Tanita in Florida wants to know what is the special care you provide to the elderly cats?
Yeah, that's a good question. You know, you got to be... You just have to work extra carefully with them. They present with a myriad of different signs of you know, age. Some of them are quite thin and frail and brittle. And when I say thin and frail, like you could blow them right over with the high velocity dryer. So you got to be very careful as you're doing certain things that they even just stay upright. You've got to be careful sometimes shaving them, or you have to choose grooms that do not include shaving because their skin is literally like tissue paper. So then you've got arthritis and things like that is quite common in cats, which makes, you know, the legs, working on the legs, they, you know, get a little angry about that, which I would if I had arthritis too, I suppose. So there are a lot of different things that you just got to work around and work with, and it's on a case-by-case basis. I recently had to tell a client that we were on the last groom for her ancient kitty. We've been grooming it a very long time, and the cat is just literally tissue paper thin skin and bones. And the last groom I did on the cat, which was some months ago, I was afraid that even combing it, I could pull the cat's skin right off. So, you know, when we get to that point, we've got a cat just really on the brink of death, and grooming is now, you know, if I were to accidentally pull that skin off and she takes it to the vet, they're going to put this cat to sleep. You know, it's like 23 years old. It won't live through surgery. So now the client, I have to explain to her the risk here involved. And if she wants me to, if I don't groom the cat gets matted very easily. If the cat gets matted, it can't be shaved. But if I'm grooming it to keep the mats away and I pull the skin off, we have a cat that goes to the vet and they put it down. You see what, this is a real dilemma. But sometimes you have to have these conversations with clients and just lay it out there on the table. And it's ultimately their decision on what to do, but they just need the facts to make the decision. So you've got to just proceed with care. You've got to know your stuff. No skin and coat, no handling, no cat behavior. And it will really make such a difference in how you handle these old, fragile cats. And, you know, your clients respect you for this. And when the day comes that they get another kitty, because I find that's usually the case, they're going to be right back, starting out with a new little kitten at some point in time, or they're going to recommend their, you know, to their friends, family, groups, and that sort of thing, your care, because of the extra care you gave to them when their cat was in a really fragile state. So I think that's so important.
Okay, I want to check again with our callers. We have about 40 of you out there. If anyone has a question, would like to ask live here, you can press 1 on your keypad. That will put your hand up on my side, and we'll try to get to you. I do want to check. I think it was Alicia. You were the first live caller, and your hand hasn't gone down. I don't know if that's not because you didn't press the 1. Let me just check and see if she does have another question.
Okay.
Alicia, if you're hearing me, did you have your hand up again for another question?
Yes, real quick. I wanted to find out if every time we should have the cat client fill out a grooming agreement or just keep the basic first initial one on file.
I think if you just word it appropriately so that you're not locking yourself into, like, this is only applicable on this day of service, then you should be able to just keep that on file, and it should be good for the duration of, you know, grooming appointments in the future. The best thing, you know, I'm not an attorney, so I do recommend that, you know, even if people are using our release of liability client agreement form, you know, have an attorney check it out, make sure it's something that would hold up should you need to use it. That's really what it's for, to protect you. And we just keep ours on file. And again, we only have clients update or fill out a new one if they have new contact information or have a new cat to add to it.
Does that answer your
and
question?
For any, yeah.
Okay, go ahead.
I was just going to say, for all the other people listening that want to ask a question, I promise I don't bite. You can raise your hand.
Okay. I've had a couple bounce on and off. And in fact, I think it certainly wasn't me. I'm sorry, Alicia. It wasn't me that she got disconnected here. Well, it's good they're still listening in. Hopefully, Alicia, if that wasn't, you can call back in again. Just put your hand up. We'll wait and see what happens with her. And that is very good advice. I work on the business side a lot for a lot of years. And I think Alicia's back.
Okay.
Let's see if I can. Yeah. Okay, Alicia, are you back?
Yes, I am. Thank you for hitting that up for me. I lost the call.
So, everything. Any more questions before we close the line for you?
No, but thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
What we found over the years is I've seen people doctor up some of the things that we put out, and there are some states that are very strict about saying we have consumer laws and you cannot override them. It may make sense for your operation, 100%, but you can't make some people sign away certain consumer rights that are just there.
Mm-hmm.
So you can probably go to an attorney, and maybe you should always have a company attorney anyway, even if you don't even call them, just have one. And they may even do it free, but just to have your business.
Yep.
And even if it costs anything, it should be more than a half hour fee. And you have the peace of mind that you aren't later being told, uh-oh, you were not supposed to, you have to sign away this right. So good advice.
Absolutely. I say, the best money I've ever spent is an accountant and an attorney. If you really want to run a successful business and, be legit, hire an attorney. It doesn't have to be, it's not expensive just to contact an attorney and say, hey, I've got this kind of business. I want you to make sure that I've got my ducks in a row with my release of liability, client contract, whatever. Might cost you $100 or something, money well spent. And then the accountant, to make sure that your taxes are done correctly, your payroll, any kind of financial advice that you need or tax advice, that is just money well spent.
Yes, it is. I usually have my December issues. It's amazing how many groomers over the years have opened a business in December. And I said, I would have waited 2 weeks. Now you have to file a tax return for this year.
Yes.
And it's like,
good
this
point.
Needed to wait till January 1, but, and that's costly to do a good tax return, whatever. And I wanted to go back, and one thing I made a note here, on the Chubbs bars, that people should know out there, that I have groomers on the Groomer Talk message board that do use them on dogs and really are quite loyal. Degreasing seems to be, it comes to my mind, one of the most popular ones for degreasing dogs are the Chubbs bars. So
yes,
I still just read that even a week or two ago. Yeah, just a couple weeks ago.
We have a very loyal customer base at Chubbs Bars, and we call them Chubbers. And I just appreciate them so much. The majority, for those listening, I developed this for the cat coats, and that was my intention. I had no idea, because I'm not a dog groomer, how great they were going to be on dogs. And I do wash my standard poodle with Chubbs bars. Fantastic. I do follow up the conditioner on him. But we have by far our largest customer base are the dog groomers, obviously, because it's a much bigger customer base. There's a lot more dog groomers out there than there are cat groomers. So we do sell Chubbs bars to a large amount of dog groomers, and they love them. And some use them exclusively on dogs. That's all they use, unless they're using a flea shampoo when needed. There is a groomer up in Canada, Stephen Kropp. He owns Bark Avenue up in Kitchener area. He's competed quite a bit here in the States and also in Canada, placed a lot. I've been to the competitions where he's placed first place of poodles, Bichons, and he washes those dogs in Chubbs bars. So that excites me. I'm like, wow, that's amazing. So, really good shampoo.
All right. Nia is from Mexico. And if I believe I'm reading this, getting to what her question is saying here, is it a good idea for the first appointment to perhaps only do a bath-only groom if you're uncertain about a cat rather than a full groom?
I'm not sure what she means by that exactly.
Me
like
either.
I'm you know, I don't know. So I'm going to say yes and no. It depends on the condition of the cat and what, you know, always a bath and a blow dry, but I would say hands down the number one service we provide outside of that is a sanitary trim. If the cat isn't getting a lion cut, it is getting a sanitary trim, and that's because cats have dirty bums. They are dirty. They are smelly. Cats do not groom themselves, and so we've got all this stuff back there. And that is a very popular service. So I would say learning how to do that, and of course a nail trim and cleaning the ears are always included, you know, just basically to get the cat clean. A groomer could do well with bath, blow dry, nails, ears, and a sanitary trim, and then start to add on things like a belly shave and a comb cut, lion cut, de-shed treatment, soft paws, and things like that as they learn those things. There's no problem with doing that. The tricky part is going to be, inevitably, the very first week you start offering these, you know, bath, blow dry grooms, someone's going to come in and say, oh, I want a full shave down. And then you're in a position where you have to say, well, I don't know how to do that, or I can't do that. And now you're potentially going to lose a brand new customer that you just worked to get in your door. So that's not a good business practice. So I guess it's, you know, up to each business owner to decide what works best for them and how they want to go about that. But, you know, you got to kind of think through the big picture and long term here. What does that look like? And what kind of ramifications does that have on your business? You know, when I started out, I did not offer comb cuts, and I'll tell you why. The comb cut is where we put a snap-on comb, and we take the coat down short, but not as short as a lion cut. So you're essentially making a long hair or medium hair cat into a short hair cat. And it's very popular, and we do a lot of those. But in the beginning, when I first tried to do that, I did not have any kind of suction on my clippers. So I now use a Romani clipper vac. I didn't have that. It was an expensive piece of equipment. I didn't have the money to buy it. And so I tried to do some comb cuts, and they looked terrible. They were very choppy. They were very time-consuming. Time-consuming to the point that I thought, there is no client out there who's actually going to pay me the amount of money I'm going to charge for this to make it worth my time. And I also don't want this groom going out my door because it looks terrible. It's very choppy and I don't like it. So now we're back to the reputation thing. So I did not offer those. I had people come in and request. They didn't say by name comb cut, but they would say, I love it when my cat is 3 or 4 weeks grown out from a lion cut. I love that length. Can you do that? And I just had to say, no, I cannot do that. Now, eventually, I invested in some suction to try it out, and it worked. It was beautiful. It worked great. Time was reasonable, and I, you know, was able to price it, make it affordable and worth my time, and now we sell that. So that may be a path that people need to take as they incrementally learn how to do things and purchase equipment to allow them to do that. So there's, you know, but you do have to say no when it comes to those things, and you got to consider what that might cost you.
Okay. And we'll have one last question. We're getting to the end of 90 minutes almost here.
Okay.
And I want you to still, at the end of the show, be able to give all your contact info out and perhaps where you're going to be this year. So quickly, what are, I have someone, they didn't give us a name. I only got an email address. It's and they were asking, what are your suggested procedures for defleeing?
I just use a flea shampoo that is labeled safe for cats and kittens, and we use that. It works well. Make sure it is not, it does not contain permethrin, because those are highly toxic. Permethrin is highly toxic to cats. It could kill a cat, so just read your labels and make sure it's labeled correctly. If it doesn't say safe for cats and kittens, I do not use it, period. And that's what we use to treat for fleas. And then we recommend to the client that they follow up 2 days later, 48 hours later, with a topical flea product, and they can discuss all that with their veterinarian. We just leave that up to them with the vet, because I'm not, you know, those things are always changing, the products available, and I'm not real familiar. I don't want to keep up with that, so I just leave that with them and their vet. That's where they can get it from. But we do do the flea bath for the client and make sure all the cat goes home that day flea free. And we also recommend that they treat the environment and any other animals in the environment, as they also are most likely infected with fleas. In fact, for many years, we kind of gotten away from this, but for many years, I handed out a flea eradication protocol sheet to each client that brought in a cat with fleas, and it outlined all of these instructions that I would give to them.
Great. Okay. All right. Why don't you want to just mention even a few other places you know you're going to be in 2016? So, because we'll
Absolutely.
Have this recording up all year.
Yeah. In fact, I was thinking, if people are listening to this right away here, and this gal that was emailing from Mexico, I will be in Yuma, Arizona, right near the Mexico border there, coming up here in a couple weeks. It's actually January 9th and 10th. It's a workshop there in Yuma, Arizona. They can contact our office. We actually have on our website under workshops in the For Groomer section all of the upcoming workshops and registration information. So you can just click right on that registration for each one. And the host of the workshop is the one that will register you. But if you can't find that or don't know where to go, just email or call the National Cat Groomers. And our number here is 864-271-7430. You can call during business hours or email us at info@nationalcatgroomers.com, and we also have a Facebook page that you're certainly welcome to send us a message. So Yuma is coming up here on the 9th and 10th, and then I will be at Pasadena doing 6 seminars that weekend. It's going to be extremely busy that weekend, so I look forward to grooming and talking cats. I'm doing live demos and business stuff, all kinds of different topics about cat grooming that weekend. And then I will be in Sydney, Australia in early March, doing a private workshop there on March 4th. If anyone wants to get in on that, there is still room. And then Atlanta Pet Fair, seminars and demos there. And we've got a couple other workshops coming up. One, San Leandro, I mentioned that earlier in May. I'll be at the Midwest Groom Expo in Minnesota in April. I'll be in Zurich, Switzerland in April. And I think that gets me through the first 4 months of the year. So they can watch the website. We're always keeping that up to date with the events going on. And then these online courses, they are accessible to anyone, anywhere in the world with an internet connection and a device. So I invite everyone to check that out. We have a free course on there called Intro to Cat Grooming. So for anyone listening to this, it's going, you know, I'm not sure if cat grooming is for me. I'm not sure if I want to spend any money learning any more cat grooming, because maybe it's not for me. I know there's a huge population of groomers out there that think that. I hear it all the time. So we put together an online course called Intro to Cat Grooming. It is completely free, and they can go through that, and it just walks you through the requirements that you need for cat grooming, for successful and safe cat grooming, obstacles that might be in your way, different hurdles that people have, and, you know, are these hurdles you can overcome or want to overcome? And then you
okay.
can better determine what you want to do from that point.
Great, Danelle. They're going to cut us off in about 30 seconds. So nationalcatgroomers.com, you can always keep
yep.
track of what she's got up. You're welcome to come to petgroomer.com. Our calendar has all the shows. By the way, every
yep.
weekend of January and February, we have Groomer Talk Radio shows. You can find out all of those at petgroomer.com on the message board called Groomer Talk. So thanks again, Danelle. It's so nice to have you back, and we'll do it again next season. How's that sound?
Thank you, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. Thank you,
Bye-bye.
Everybody.